What up, though? This your boy CB. That's Chill B, and this is the Chill Bravado Podcast, where I bring you a series called Lakers 82-16. That's where we cover the grind of an 82-game long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. And I asked the question, have D'Angelo Russell played his final game as a Los Angeles Laker? Again. What up, though? It's your boy CB, yeah, and we are here. It is time to get into our trade deadline, pre-trade deadline talk. We're not going to waste a lot of time today. We just came off the Grammy road trip with 4-2. I think the Clippers went 6-1, you know, so they outdid us on that. But this is what I said will probably be the most optimistic road trip, although losing to the Houston Rockets and the Atlanta Hawks back-to-back in blowout fashion didn't feel or sit well. After that Golden State Warriors game, and everybody was all hyped up over the classic duel between LeBron and Curry, I could not wait for the game to end because Draymond Green did Draymond Green type things, and Anthony Davis just looked hobbled after that encounter with him. So, and then the extra minutes on the body, yeah, this turned into Houston came out there and they got their lick back finally because we had beaten them the last two times. Atlanta Hawks did what they normally do, and you know, they just out young gunned us like Snoop said. These young guns, they just run and they just keep moving. And I think that kind of got the best of us, and we just didn't come with the proper energy. But then we go and face a Boston Celtics team that once we find out LeBron and AD were both not playing, it's like the Lakers, you know, waving the white flag. They were letting it get to the 10 count. They were not going to get up. And then Austin Reeves, AR turns out to have one of his craziest games. Vando was out there impacting the game and even scoring the basketball. Hit two triples before he left with an injury. And now we know it's a mid-foot sprain. At the time, we were scared there's going to be Achilles, a season ending. We got reports that he'll be reevaluated in 3 or 4 weeks. But also, that doesn't mean he's out of the woodworks. Reevaluate does not mean he's back in the starting lineup. Back in the lineup, you know, starting lineup is too good to be true with Darvin Ham. It doesn't mean that he's going to, you know, play that week. I mean, he's being reevaluated. That's going to let us know if he is going to be able to ramp up to play again, or is he going to be out an extended amount of time still, or even out for the season. That's the most scariest scenario. Which let's just hope that the good news keeps coming and coming, because man, I miss Vando. It's one of my guys. I really love watching him play. I hope he gets better soon. Gabe Vincent, it would be nice that he was able to get healthy, but I don't know if we're going to see him anytime soon. And he's also been in trade talks as just kind of a salary dump, you know, getting themselves right with God, if you like to say, with the Lakers and the books. So they're getting themselves right, so they'll be able to have the flexibility to move. And then you have Cam Reddish. People have forgotten about Cam Reddish and what he was able to do for us. He's still out. I just think they probably should just push him on out to the All-Star break and just let him heal up. You know, let these guys get that extra rest. You know, Lord, don't let AD or LeBron or any of the players get hurt during the All-Star game. Yeah, man, so that's kind of that update on all the injury stuff, the bad news, and somewhat good news that you hear from for Vando, and we'll find out later on at a later date. Probably be a while before we hear about or see Vando in action. But then, you know, you leave Boston, and you go play against the Knicks, who are short OG and Randall and other guys, but you face a Knicks team that was hot, and Brunson was cooking your guards, AR and D'Lo. And this kind of, you know, leads us into the conversation about free agency. Well, not free agency. More like the trade deadline. Free agency as well during the offseason. But trade deadline right now is making you think, okay, Vando's hurt. He's out for an extended period of time. Do we shift now and say we need a wing / guard, you know, defender, point of attack defender, What are we looking for to have to kind of help us, you know, just in case Vando's out longer than we expect? Can we find a guy that's going to help us play defense the way we need to play? Because Austin and D'Lo, they lack, you know, speed, they lack quickness, they lack the defensive prowess of a guard who's set and built to play good defense. These guys, Austin plays average to below average defense. D'Angelo Russell, his individual ball denial and, you know, just playing on ball is terrible. He's not, he's nowhere near above average, below average, or any of that. It's kind of bad. And that's what our biggest issue is. That's when you start hearing the DeJounte Murray claims, because he gives us a guard with some speed and he just kind of a jack of all trades. He doesn't shoot the ball great from three. He can hit the mid-range game, and then he has these guys that he's gonna, you know, just kind of see what we're working with here. So yeah, man, it's just a lot to cover, man, and we're gonna get into it though. We're gonna talk about it today. We're gonna talk about the trade deadline with D'Lo and the possibilities of him staying and him going. We are here. We're gonna find out where he be suiting up against Denver come Thursday, as well as we're gonna be kind of talking about what's gonna be unveiled outside of crypto.com arena. And all right, we are back. And really, let's get into the unveiling of Kobe Bryant's statue that's going to happen on Thursday. Big moment for Laker fans. Big moment for the Bryant family. Big moment for the Laker organization. I just wish we didn't do it on trade deadline day. Because I would rather just be a moment where we kind of focus on just that. I wish we did it on a moment that we didn't play the Denver Nuggets, because I want to win. And whether we have a trade or not, if we have a trade go down, that means the roster's probably going to be kind of short, because a lot of guys are going to be leaving to get the physicals and go to the new teams and be, you know, inactive that day, yada, yada, yada. So that kind of sucks. And if they, you know, if they don't get traded, you know, we still gonna have the guys, but we don't have Vando, no Gabe Vincent, you know, and I think I'm looking at it, and Denver hasn't played since the weekend. Like, we play Monday, we're gonna be pretty fresh, but Denver be fresher. It's just the way the schedule works out. Be very emotional for the players and the organization. And we're wearing the Mamba jerseys, and I don't wanna lose in the Mamba jerseys, but I'm going to have faith. You know, I thought the Boston game was pretty much a wrap, but they came out and they won that. But that's going to be what we're looking at Thursday. Are there any moves made? If not, we focus on the statue. We focus on the game. And let's see if we can continue to, you know, get this TNT curse and get it out of here. But, man, we're playing against Denver, and we know what that partakes and what that brings. It's fine. But Denver's not the only team that we can look at this year and really be impressed with. Okay, the Clippers, 34-15, sitting and tied in first place. Crazy, because right behind them is the Thunder, who's 35-16. Right behind them is the Timberwolves, who's 35-16, and right behind them are the Nuggets, who's 35-16. So all these guys sitting at the top of the mountain. And then you have the Kings, who are 29-20. Wait a minute. The Lakers are sitting in ninth at 27-25. And we are 5.5 games behind. No, I'll take that back. Let me take that back. We are 3.5 games behind the Kings for the fifth spot. Okay? And they're actually tied up with the Suns, who's sitting at 6. So, 5, the Kings sitting there at 29-20. The Suns are 6 with 30-21 record. The Kings are 29-20 at the fifth spot. Ooh, that's a lot of numbers to say. Then you have the Pelicans, who are 29-21 in the seventh spot. And the Mavericks are 28-23.
in the 8th spot, and then you have the Lakers at 27 and 25 in the 9th spot. So we have the ability to climb out of this play-in tournament if we can get ourselves another break. We've just not won 3 in a row, and we have only done that one time all season long. No, we've done it twice all season long. We won 3 games in a row all season long, twice. And we won 4 in a row once. So let's see if we can get a little rhythm here. Like, if we surprise ourselves and beat the Nuggets, then, you know, we can say we have our second 4-game winning streak. But that's a big if. But the thing is, we got the Nuggets on Thursday. Okay? And then on Friday, we had the Pelicans. So it's going to be tough to get us back in there. And I'm okay with it, because I feel like Thursday, it just depends on how the emotions are going and how the trade deadline go. We'll see how that goes. But the Pelicans game, we got smacked right then the last time we played against them. Then we have the Pistons the day before Valentine's Day. So let's not give them any love. No love to the Pistons. Okay. And then on the 14th, we play against the Jazz. So if you notice in the trend here, you know, we went this month with a lot of home games in the beginning in a 6-game road trip and only had one back-to-back the whole month. That's because we had so many back-to-backs in the first month. I mean, in December. And in November. Yeah, in those 2 months alone, we had a lot of back-to-backs. But now we're getting right back to it. So, okay, we play Thursday. And they're both home games. Luckily, you got the Nuggets. And then you play Friday, and the Pelicans come into town. And then on Tuesday, February 13th, you play the Pistons at home. And then on February 14th, you play the Jazz at Salt Lake City. So there you go. And then we go back to those pesky Warriors again on the 22nd. Oh, wait. And then you turn around and play on the 23rd against Wemby. So you see what I'm saying? Like, you see, we have a lot of back-to-backs coming up. So just prepare to see that this trade deadline is not the only thing that we should be worried about, folks. We got a schedule here. It's going to be challenging if we, you know, don't get healthy. And with Vando, who's going to be reevaluated, you're probably not going to see him to the end of the season if he's even able to come back. You're not going to see Gabe Vincent until March if he's able to come back. Cam Reddish might come back before both of those guys. Maybe Cam come after the All-Star break. We'll see. It's tough right now, the position that we're in. But let's be honest. When I come back from the break, I'll focus really on D'Lo and the trade deadline. So we'll talk about that and end on a high note, because I don't want to sit here and talk about trades all day anymore, because it's almost here. And I'll be right back. All right, I want to thank you once again for tuning in and chilling with the Chill Bravado podcast. I do not take it for granted. I love when everybody come in and listen and talk to me and all these good things, man. We appreciate everything that comes this way. And I also want to give a shout out and let you know to continue to check out and tune in to the All Things Sports podcast with my boy JR. That's right, All Things Sports podcast, where he covers the world of sports. He breaks down everything from his perspective. He's getting ready to kind of talk about his Panthers after the Super Bowl is over. He's giving his picks and how he doesn't bet against number 15. He just gave his perspective on a few things that I thought were interesting. The Joel Embiid situation and the trade and how his stance on that 65-game rule, he's fine with it. And he also kind of spoke on the Eric Bieniemy not getting any type of traction for a head coaching job, which I find puzzling as well. He just had his boy Kaysen on, and they went through the NBA and they talked about that. But the Eric Bieniemy thing was very interesting that I didn't realize. He had zero interviews, period. And that's interesting. So if you want to hear his take on Eric Bieniemy, if you want to hear his take on the Super Bowl, you go over and tune into the All Things Sports podcast. Thank you guys for checking all us out. And I want to let you know, man, this trade deadline talk, man, it might be a dud. It might be non-existent. It might not be any big moves made. Very marginal. Very marginal. Like, this DeJounte Murray thing right now, and I can't wait for this trade deadline to get over with because I want to talk basketball, but we cannot ignore it. It's gone cold. The reports are going in. They don't want D'Lo. Could the Nets be a team that they factor in to get D'Lo out of here? If you get D'Lo out of here, are you banking on bringing in a Tyus Jones, who appears to have now, they want a first round pick for Tyus Jones? I don't really care about giving up draft capital of that magnitude for Tyus Jones. I don't, you know, and I like Dorian Finney-Smith, but I don't want to attach a first round pick to get him. I like Alex Caruso, but they're trying to get him. They want multiple firsts for Alex Caruso, and I'm not with that either. It's just a lot that's been asked. But don't be surprised if we don't make a move at all. That's just where we at. Do not be surprised if there's nobody moving and we're sitting here stuck and we've made marginal moves. Jackson Hayes traded off the roster. Cam Reddish packaged up and traded off the roster. Those type of moves. Gabe Vincent put together, and maybe that will be our biggest move of him bringing in a piece. You know, I'm hearing Gary Trent Jr.'s name again. So let's see what if that's something that people are interested in inside the Lakers camp, are they interested in? Let's also speak about how everybody was talking about that LeBron James wanted to be traded. And that was like the talk of the town for that day of 24 hours, 48 hours, whatever it was. And then LeBron and Rich Paul, they come out and they have to address it. The Lakers are saying they want LeBron to retire in the purple and gold, which I think is fine, what they should say. But I'm not really worried about LeBron after the season right now. I'm curious about LeBron after the All-Star break. I want to see that LeBron and what team's going to be here. I want to see Anthony Davis, who's been playing well and who's been relatively healthy all year. The role players are seeming to be the ones struggling this year from the bug. And everybody keeps saying, well, AD and LeBron has played all year and they're still an average basketball team record-wise. Well, maybe because the pieces around them don't fit as usual, and the pieces that do fit are only one-way type of players like Austin Reaves and D'Lo. They are not an athletic backcourt, so when they go against faster, younger talent, against teams with faster and younger talent at the one and the two spot, it's all right. They're going to get picked on. It's going to be a struggle, especially with Vando. Vando Norman can make up for some of that defensive deficiencies of those guys. Not Torian Prince. Torian Prince, who's been moved to the bench. I think I had no problem with Prince coming off the bench because he still has value coming off the bench. He's played well coming off the bench. Rui Hachimura's been slid, who's been in the starting lineup. He allows us to play bigger. He doesn't necessarily move the needle defensively, but he's a bigger body. And if we find ways to use him, and especially when the fast break comes and we could play up with him, that just gives us a little more offensive punch. And then when you have Vando and Torian Prince coming off the bench, you know, you can come and mix and match and things. When Cam Reddish come back, it really won't surprise me because Max Christie, I feel like, has played a whole lot better in his limited minutes. But, man, there is moves. There is a move or two to be made. I doubt DeJounte Murray is one of them. And although I like the idea of DeJounte Murray, the player, I also like the idea of the playmaker D'Lo. I like what D'Lo has been able to do. Now, his biggest question is, can he be consistent against the better, more athletic backcourts in the NBA and in the Western Conference? And that's, well, or is he going to be able to match up with Denver? Is he going to be able to match up with the Clippers? Is he going to be able to match up with OKC? Is he going to be able to match up with the Timberwolves? Like, all of these high-profile teams right now in the Western Conference, it's not just D'Lo, because if D'Lo and Austin are out there with no Vando, we serve a problem of being picked on, both of them. So this is really the thing. Like, D'Lo, the player, is fine to me, but D'Lo, the contract is tradable. He even said that in his presser, like, my contract is definitely tradable, especially when you have a no-trade clause. And then if Austin and D'Lo were to switch contracts, we would have traded Austin. Just like they're trying to trade D'Lo. So I don't think it's, you know, a jab at D'Lo. I think it's more of a jab at the contract. Jackson Hayes is another guy they're probably going to try to get out of here. I think, or him or Cam Reddish. or Gabe Vincent. But it's just hard to tell. We are this is recorded Wednesday. We're really waiting to see what happens tomorrow. Trade deadline day. It's like it's going down to the wire, which means it's probably not much going to happen. If DeJounte Murray is the biggest name on the market, it's not. It's just not worth blowing up the whole, you know, chemistry thing. To bring in a guy who's going to have to adjust again. Like he's played with Trae Young. The adjustment has been, you know, he haven't won, but he's played well. But, you know, if you come to the Lakers now, it's like you're not going to get those 15 to 20 shots. You might get 10 shots with LeBron and AD. You never know. But he's the type of guy you need, more athletic guy at the guard position. So I get what we're doing here. But people are saying, well, what if they keep the picks and don't make the moves and try to go Donovan Mitchell hunting in the offseason? That would be great. But unlike Anthony Davis, we knew he wanted to come to the Lakers. Donovan Mitchell has said nothing, so that doesn't give the leverage game to the Lakers. So if he gets to the offseason, the Knicks, OKC, any team with picks and players, they can outbid the Lakers for Donovan Mitchell. So what are you doing? You waiting? You want to go in a bidding war with teams that has more draft capital, have younger and better pieces? You're not going to win that. So I'm not really thrilled about, you know, Mitchell getting to LA unless I hear from his camp or from him, you know, rumblings that he would wants to be in LA. So I'm not really excited about that move. Trae Young, I mean, unless Atlanta's really going to trade both Trae and DeJounte. But I just don't see other teams can outbid us. I don't think another team will want Trae Young, though, so he'll probably be the one we would get because apparently players don't like Trae. Coaches. I mean, that's what Gilbert Arenas says. But we're done with this, man. I just want to get in here and talk before the trade deadline. So when the trade deadline breaks, we'll see the Andre Drummond become available. Caruso, DeJounte Murray, is D'Lo Staying. We don't know. We're in limbo. I'm excited, air quotes, about the trade deadline. I'm more excited to get past it so we can get back to ball. But if you like the trade deadline as much as I do, probably more. Let's stay tuned in. We'll see what happens. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. This is the Chill Bravado Podcast, Laker 8216. See you guys next time.